Good morning, Grace City, and welcome to our home. Today's passage is from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62.
As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Christy and Tyler, for the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and we honor you for the privilege to worship and lift you up today. Now, God, you are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us, shape us, make us, break us to what you need us to be. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister through my mind, speak with my tongue, love with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My focus text this morning, verses 61 and 62. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God." For the time this morning, I want to preach from the title, Radical Follower. In 2010, there was a New York Times bestseller book written by a man named David Platt. And the title of that book was Radical. The author lifted the idea that Christ is radical. He left behind securities, he left behind money, he left behind convenience and even family in order to move the gospel. He challenges his reader in his book to consider how we are called to move the Great Commission in Matthew 28. But he also raises the question to how have we manipulated the gospel to fit it to our personal preference. I find it amazing that 10 years later, 2020, after that book is written, we have hit a roadblock in our journey, and it's called COVID-19. And it is a roadblock that we find our security, our money, our convenience left behind. And those who have manipulated this gospel to fit their personal preference now are trying to find meaning and purpose for this life. Grace City, radical followers of Christ understands that this gospel is inconvenient, is an uncertainty, it's uncomfortable, it's the unsecure, it's feeling the sense of not being in control. When radical followers become models of this gospel, we will move this gospel around the world. You know, March 11, 2020, all of our personal preferences were thrown out of the window. If you never understood that this gospel is more important than your security, than your money, than convenience, you definitely know it now. You know this gospel is other-focused and not self-focused. We know that this gospel is God's sufficiency and not self-sufficiency. We know that this gospel is community purpose and not self-purpose. We know that this gospel is interdependent and not independent. We know that this gospel is collectivism and not individualism. We know that this gospel is egalitarianism and not elitism. But here's the question, Grace City. How is it that we have 2.2 billion followers of Christ in the world, and it seems as though there are two different messages and methods of what it means to be a follower of Christ? I think I figured it out. What I've discovered is that you can sit in the class with a teacher and have two different purposes and while you're there. You know, I'm in my doctoral program, and there are two types of people that's taking the class. There are those who are auditing the class, and then there are those who are taking the class. The auditors of the class want the information for their personal preference, but they are not willing to do the work. Hey, let me come get you, Grace City. I want you to understand, being a radical follower, we cannot be auditors. We must be willing to take the class. We must be willing to take this gospel and move it around the world just as Jesus did. This is why Luke says it this way. I want you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. We are called to be radical followers in this world. In our text this morning, Jesus is differentiating the auditors from the radical followers. Chapter 9 of Luke is the climate of Jesus' entrance and the beginning of his exit. Jesus, those who were radical followers of Jesus, are now putting his teaching into practice. His disciples, the ones that's been with him for 3 years, are now healing the sick. They are giving good news to the poor. They are serving the people just like Jesus. These radical followers are now doing exactly what Jesus is doing. But now Jesus is shifting to his exit. He is on his way to Jerusalem. And when he's on his way to Jerusalem, he is now experiencing some difficulty. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, but he experienced rejection from the outsiders. He has to correct those who are in the inside, and he also are redirecting those who call themselves his followers. Jesus wants them to know that being his follower is not about being an auditor, but it's about modeling and doing what he did, which is to bring the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus makes three radical statements to help us understand that you and I are called to be radical followers and not auditors. The first thing he shows us is that radical followers put the kingdom of God before their personal comfort. Let me show it to you in the text. As they were walking along the road, a man said, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." The most comfortable place for most of us is our homes. Certainly, we love our beds. But Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz echoes the sentiment that best goes with this. She clicked her heels and said, "There is no place like home." Listen, our homes is one of the most comfortable places. Listen, according to Matthew 8:19, this man is identifying himself as a scribe. He was an expert of the law. And not only was he an expert of the law, he had hostility towards Jesus. But Jesus, he goes to Jesus, even with hostility, being an expert of law. He says, "Jesus, I want to follow you." He's not only does he want to follow, but he says, "I'm going to be loyal to you for a long while." Jesus knows this enthusiastic request is from the observation of him performing miracles. Jesus understands that anybody can be loyal when things are going well. But the question is, can you follow me when things are uncomfortable, when things are uncertain, when things are insecure? Can you follow me when you don't have a place to lay down your head? Can you follow me when you don't know where your next meal is coming from? Can you follow me when your marriage has one foot in divorce court and another foot on a banana peel? Can you follow me when your job is insecure? Can you follow me when your retirement is down? Can you follow me when your sickness is in your body? And can you follow me when you are uncomfortable? Jesus wants to know, are you a radical follower? Jesus says, radical followers are one who are willing to follow me in the place where it is uncomfortable. Will you go with me when things are uncomfortable, when things are uncertain? Grace City, this season is uncomfortable, but I believe you are divinely positioned to be a radical follower and bring the gospel to those who are in need. You know, the Apostle Paul raised the question when he was talking to the church of Corinthians. He said, "Are they servants of Christ? Am I out my mind to talk like this?" He says, "I am more." He said, "I've worked much harder. been in prison more frequent, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 3 times I was shipwrecked, in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in dangers from Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the seas, and even in danger to false believers. The Apostle Paul moved this gospel in the kingdom, but it was not comfortable. The first thing I see here is that we are called to move the kingdom of God in spite of being comfortable. But the second thing I see is that radical followers put the kingdom of God before their personal riches. Here it is in the text. He says to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go proclaim the kingdom of God." At first glance, it appears that the man is making a reasonable request and Jesus is being unreasonable. But what's happening here is that this man and his son is Jewish, which means that this man should have buried his father by now. But the man wants to go back. He's going back because he knows that when his father passed away, he gets an inheritance. So the father is still alive, but he doesn't want to follow Jesus until after his father is buried so that he can get his riches. Jesus understands that he is putting his riches before following Christ. Jesus is telling him, "Let the dead bury the dead." He is checking him and letting him know, "I see your heart. You are putting your riches before the kingdom of God. And you and I, Grace City, got to make sure that the eternal comes before the temporal." This is why the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us." Radical followers put the kingdom of God before personal comfort. Radical followers put the kingdom of God before personal riches. But the last thing I see is radical followers put the kingdom of God before personal relations. Look at verse 61 and 62. He says, "Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow looks back as fit for service in the kingdom of God." Unlike the man who struggled with his inheritance, and this man was willing to give up riches to follow Jesus, but he wanted to say goodbye. This man was saying goodbye simply because he was struggling in his heart. Rather, he wanted to go back, or rather he wanted to go forward. And Jesus knew that what he was saying was he was struggling in his heart. He was wrestling in his heart. Rather, he wanted to go back to the world. Rather, he wanted to follow Christ. Jesus tells this man, he tells him, no man can serve the kingdom by looking back. You and I cannot serve the kingdom of God by wishing, hoping for the things that are in this world, but understand that the kingdom of God and the inheritance of the kingdom of God is what radical followers are called to do. We are called to go forward. Grace City, 10 years ago, after the book was written, Radical, we are in an uncomfortable place. But this is the question for us as radical followers. Is this place of uncomfortable made us bitter, or have this made us better? We cannot be like the children of Israel that look back and say, "We want to go back." We cannot get bitter. I come here to tell you that as a radical follower, that even COVID-19 has made us better. See, COVID-19 did not break you down. COVID-19 is our breakthrough. COVID-19 is not our setback, but COVID-19 is a setup. See, our setback is a setup for our comeback. I come to tell you, Grace City, after all of this, the radical followers of Christ are moving the kingdom forward. This is why Paul says to the church of Corinthians, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary trouble troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. When we put the kingdom of God before our comfort and before our riches and before our relationship, we are radical followers of Christ. Radical followers are moving the kingdom forward. Our hope can't be our comfort. Our hope can't be in our riches. Our hope can't be in our relationships. Grace City, radical followers have to put their hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not hear the sweetest frame, but wholly live on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We are called to model Christ as his followers. He was a radical, calls us to be radical. And here are these radical words. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, humility, valuing others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and human likeness. Being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to even death on a cross. He says to you as his followers, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He calls us to be radical followers.